News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. Treasurer Michael Frerichs on the other end of the phone. Mike, how you been, man?
Tom, I've been great. I got out of the car last night in beautiful Collinsville, Illinois, and you were right. It felt like fall.
Right.
But I'm excited for that. I'm someone who likes the air a little more crisp.
Me too. And fall's one of my favorite seasons, no doubt, unless we've had a really wicked winter in which it changes promptly to spring. Now here's the thing, Mike. You're hopping in the car. You're heading to Carbondale, Murfreesboro. Where else today?
Redbud, Waterloo, Carbondale, Murfreesboro, finishing in Marion.
What are you doing?
Spend tomorrow all around Southern Illinois, and a little bit Saturday before going home to see my baby girl.
All right. Well, and what I kind of figured here is when I knew you were coming down that I see Kwame Raoul, and I think Erica Harold is in the area too. I know Kwame Raoul is today. I was looking at his schedule for today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the DuQuoin State Fair brings a lot of people down from Chicago. I've been happily coming down to DuQuoin State Fair, I think, for the last 6 years or so. It's a good time. Unfortunately, my daughter is in school, so I'm not able to bring her down with me because she loves rides. She's 9 years old and just loves the fair.
Good. And, Trebetta Raymond saying that their first double Ferris wheel this year at the DuQuoin State Fair, so...
Well, maybe we'll have to find an excuse to come back down with her. But, unfortunately, her school district started last week. I don't think it's... the kids should enjoy the full summer. I tend to think that fall starts after Labor Day, but my school district disagrees with me.
All right. Yeah, I can remember when school was a little bit later. I noticed that when you have been around Southern Illinois and the rest of the state, you've been talking with people, something you and I talked about recently. When you buy a gift card for somebody, and you've been pushing it back against the governor's veto on this bill, that those cards, those gift cards that we buy, should retain all their value.
Well, we passed legislation several years ago saying that gift cards should retain their value. Companies shouldn't tack on these inactivity fees that take away the money that belongs to you. However, we didn't tackle rebate cards, and now what companies are doing is they'll promise you a rebate, but rather than sending you a check, they'll send you one of these Visa cards, and people just, they put them on top of their dresser, they put them in a drawer, they intend to use them another day. When they finally get around to using them, they find they've lost all their value. And this is a way of getting around our state's unclaimed property laws, because when we go in and say, hey, those people never use their card, you have to turn the money over to us, and we'll get it to them. They say, oh, well, there's no value left on the card. It was all eaten up by inactivity fees.
Now, here's the thing. I spoke with Lisa Madigan, Attorney General, on this issue before. She was the one that led the charge on the gift cards.
That's
issue,
right?
Mm-hmm. Because, and it was interesting, as new businesses that were offering to even buy those cards, right? And things along the line. There were all kinds of deals going on. And I also know people who were selling them and saying, we guarantee X percentage will never use them and you'll be able to keep that money. I mean, that was literally the sales pitch on it. So when it comes to this...
They said that in a Senate committee hearing.
Right.
They said as much.
Did they? Well, once again, I'm not surprised. Like I said, I learned my stuff on the street. So I'm wondering how those cards can be really different when it comes to legality. If it's revenue on a card or value, that the original all wasn't large enough in its scope to be able to cover this.
Well, they said the law only affects gift cards, but this is not a gift card, it's a rebate card. They changed the definition, so we just want to make it clear. Gift cards, rebate cards, same thing.
They are.
They admitted that they will sell a $100 gift card for only $96. How can you stay in business giving someone $100 and getting $96 back? They said, well, because we know some people aren't going to use them.
Right.
Because the inactivity fees are so profitable for us that we can make money off of that. They admitted they said, that's how we run the program. We take money from some people to offer it to others and for our profit. And I just don't think that's right. If you promise someone $100, they should get $100.
Another one of the items you're out on the road talking about is Secure Choice. Now, this is an attempt to try to be able to get people who are not saving, and you see some terrifying figures when it comes to people not being saved. Now, some of the published articles say, and this comes from your office, less than $5,000 saved for retirement, and about one-third of retirees in America rely on Social Security for 90% or more of their retirement income.
Yeah, about half of working-age adults in this state and in this country have less than $5,000 saved for retirement. That is going to be a retirement crisis. People living in poverty, people accessing state services because they can't support themselves in their retirement, and no one's going to be able, these people aren't going to be able to enjoy their golden years. But we think we found a solution in Secure Choice, helping people save their own money, making it easier for people to do everything they know they need to do, but they put off if you don't make it easy for them. We passed some cleanup legislation recently to make the program better. It passed the House unanimously, the Senate unanimously. Our bipartisan Secure Choice board voted to support it unanimously, and the governor vetoed it. It makes no sense whatsoever to me.
But it's with majority votes. You've got the votes for a veto override.
Yeah, we'll vote for an override. This just strikes me as election year politics. Nothing else makes sense. We've passed cleanup legislation the last 2 years for Secure Choice, and the governor has signed them. He never complained in the past, but we're just about a couple months away from election, and so I think we'll put this aside. Our plan is going to move forward this fall, regardless of the governor's mandatory veto, and after the election, when the politics is on the back burner, we will override the governor's veto in November.
All right. The idea being that, just hypothetically, Mike, do I call the government? The state of Illinois? Do I call the treasurer's office? Do I talk to my employer about signing up for this program, and then the money is taken out of my paycheck and put into the Secure Choice Fund?
Yeah, so your employer will let you know if your employer qualifies for this. It's only employers with 25 or more employees who don't offer a pension or a 401k.
Right.
If you've got a 401k at your office, this doesn't affect you.
Okay.
If you work for a really small employer with 7 employees, it doesn't affect you. If it affects your employee, they're going to let you know that they're going to enroll you. It will start with an automatic 5% deduction. It will go into your personal Roth IRA. This is not managed by the state. It's managed by a private sector. You're able to choose how you want to invest. You're able to increase or decrease the amount you're saving, or you can opt out if you don't want to. But inertia is such a powerful force, Tom. Once you get people started doing something they need to, they just kind of continue.
401k aspect is here when that money is not taxed. Is same thing for Secure Choice?
Well, so this money comes out after you pay taxes.
Okay.
But you put it into your Roth IRA, you invest it, that growth, when it comes out, you pay no taxes on that growth.
Can I share with you,
especially for younger people, this is a better vehicle for them.
Can I share with you my biggest apprehension, Mike, about this? All right. The state of Illinois. All right. In 2008, when the markets tanked, we were caught flat-footed. Alexis Giannoulias, I liked Alexi. I liked him a lot. A great guy. But we were flat-footed. We did not respond. And a lot of people suffered as a result, college funds in particular. And I'm worried, but you just addressed this in one way, that saying, look, this is the right, and this is out in the private sector. But that's where my apprehension is, right? I just about rather put it underneath the mattress. So how do you calm those fears when it comes to saying, look, you know, out of anybody, if I'm going to give anybody my money, it's not going to be the state of Illinois. They already take enough, you know, and then I don't trust you once you have it. How do you deal with that aspect? Because I know it exists.
I get that completely. We've learned that lesson. So it's managed by the private sector. We are constantly looking over their shoulder to make sure they're responsive to problems out there. If you are the type of person who says, I'd rather just have my money under a mattress, well, you've got four options. You can put into a capital preservation fund. What that means is you're not going to lose money. You put it in a money market, you're just not going to lose money. You're not going to earn much interest. You're not going to lose money. If you say, well, I'd like to take a little bit of risk, but I'm a pretty conservative guy, we have a conservative option, which puts you in investments that are very unlikely, bonds that are very unlikely to lose. But if you say, I am young, I want to earn as much money as possible, and I have a tolerance for risk, I can afford to lose a little bit, I'm a gambler, we have a growth fund as well. And if you say, I just don't understand this investment stuff, we have a target date fund that will change your investment portfolio based on how far away you are from retirement. So, you know, if you're the type of person who doesn't want to take risk, you don't have to take any risk in your Roth IRA.
All right. Now, here's the other thing, Mike. When it comes to these items, a lot of times in dealing with a 401k, you can only make changes to your investment portfolio maybe once a year or something along that line. There's a window, or maybe in some you've got them every quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that ability to change quickly on your own?
Yeah, you have the ability to change. There are only four options. So we deliberately kept it small. and easy to understand, because a lot of these people aren't investors. So we don't want to scare them with paralysis. You give people 50 choices. We all say we love choice. You give them 50 choices, things like mid-cap growth fund, small-cap international, and they freeze. They don't know what to choose. If you have someone out there who wants to pick individual stocks, who wants to be more aggressive and varied, then go out to a financial advisor and set up their own account. But this is for the average person out there who has not been saving for their retirement, who has not been actively investing. We're trying to keep it as simple as possible so that people stay in the system. Because we know that if they put money aside every paycheck and they invest it and they do this for decades, they're going to find a nice little nest egg when they reach the end of their working lives.
See, my retirement plan consists of the entire collection of Dennis Rodman McDonald's cups that change colors on his hair when they put the coals. That's my retirement plan. And I think I've got four collector Kiss dolls. That's so far my retirement plan.
You know, you should reach out to Kim Jong-un. I bet you'd find a good buyer for this product.
Never occurred to me. Can you help me with the currency exchange rates is the question there.
Unfortunately, whatever currency they use in North Korea, I'm not very confident in. I would not be putting in money there. I'd transfer immediately into hard U.S. dollars.
Okay. All right. Gold bullion it is. All right. Hey, I got a question for you. Yesterday, $965 million in bonds, according to this press release, general obligation refunding bond series A and B of September 28, $965,770,000 in the press release. There's a lot of stuff. You just talked about being complicated in retirement, not understanding. Yeah, this most of this page. But they say today's bond issue has an all-in borrowing cost for the combined series of at 4.19%. These bonds are being issued as fully exempt from federal taxation and are rated BBB by Fitch, Baa3 by Moody's Investor, and BBB by S&P Global. What do you think about this bond sale yesterday?
This is the State of Illinois General Obligation Bond?
Correct.
Yeah. The governor's done this on average about twice a year going forward. Each time we've sent a letter to the governor's office saying, we're paying more in interest than we ought to. So we ought to get our credit rating in line before issuing these bonds. Now, you need money to run state government. We have stabilized our fall, but we have not really improved our bond rating. And what that means is that we pay more in interest. We'll pay tens of millions of dollars more in interest. This is not going to go to fix a single mile of road. This is not going to improve a single school in this state. It's great that we passed a balanced bipartisan budget this year, but there's so much more we have to do. We've got to get our debt under control. Right. There's no plan to really pay down our debt, and people buying our bonds notice that, and it costs us all more.
I don't have the exact figure, but 1 week ago today, the federal government reached a new record, and I think it was $21.9 trillion or $21.6 maybe.
We had a president come in, promise to do things differently, to shake things up. People wanted that, but I don't think what they expected was the federal debt to continue to skyrocket.
Yeah, well,
we knew that after a recession, there was spending going on trying to stimulate the economy, but the economy is going well now. And yet, these tax cuts and increased spending are only adding to our deficit. And there's only so long you can do that before you've got to pay the piper.
And all I can tell you is what other people would say, what Congressman Jerry Costello told me years ago is, look, this is what happens when you put a war on a credit card. And other people saying, don't forget, President Obama contributed more than any other president in history to the debt. So to getting us where we're at. Back to this issue of bonds, I want to hit this real quick because this is a quote from Hans Zygmunt. He is the budget director for the state. I know you know him. He says, quote, "We are very pleased with a strong investor response to today's bond sale. By refunding the $600 million in variable rate debt, the state eliminates its highest cost debt and replaces it with traditional fixed rate bonds carrying a much lower overall rate of interest."
Yeah, that's true. Because the state of Illinois has the ability to tax, because we're very, very likely we'll be able to pay back our bonds, there's a lot of interest out there. I mean, there's interest meaning there are people who want to buy our bonds. Because if you compare ours to other states, we pay higher interest. We pay a higher interest because we've allowed our credit rating to be degraded, downgraded year after year. and this may have reduced some of the costs we were paying. That's a good thing to do. But if we had a better credit rating, we would have reduced it even further.
Right. Michael Frericks, Treasurer, State of Illinois. He's in Collinsville now, but he's making his way to a number of different stops in Southern Illinois today. Murfreesboro, Carbondale. You end in Marion?
End in Marion. Don't forget Red Bud and Waterloo.
Can't forget Red Bud and Waterloo. Got too many friends there to forget. Michael Frericks, Treasurer, State of Illinois. As always, man, appreciate your time.
Tom, it's a pleasure.